Welcome to Sports Radio New York, a network of New York sports talk shows heard on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Check out New York Hockey Talk with Rob Cole.
Old-time hockey.
New York Baseball Digest with Mike Silva. Baseball Talk with Carl the Cabbie and Dugout Joe. Sports Talk Live with Frankie the Sports Guy. The Starting Nine with Steve Rogan, Paul Revelant, and Alex Goldfinger. The Dog Pound with Moose and Doc. And Sports Talk 1240 with Anthony Donahue. Listen every Sunday night at 9 p.m. on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. And check out all past shows online at sportsradiony.com. The following program is brought to you by Sports Radio New York. The following program
from the airwaves of Sports Radio New York at WGBB. It is New York Baseball Live with Joe Mosch.
And the pitch back a curve. Top got the third. Garrett has the ball. A throw to first. And the Mets are the National League champions.
High ball to right center field. Deep in right center. Jansky with A.G. A.G. dives. And he makes the catch.
It's just one good stride in from the outfield grass at first. 2-1 pitch. Fly ball. Deep left field. Jones is back to the fence. Jones is on the warning track. The World Series is over. Jones makes the catch.
Drive to right field and deep. Chris going back. Away back. It's gone. Home run Richardson.
Well, Bert Hooton threw the wrong ball. Jackson made it the long ball.
What's up, folks? This is Joe Bosch. You're listening to New York Baseball Live. It is Sunday. We're hanging out at the studios of WGBB, part of SportsRadioNewYork.com. We have a great show. We have John Hebion, former New York Yankee, Baltimore Oriole pitcher. He's going to come on. We're going to talk a little bit about his career. We're going to talk about now what he's doing. He's with St. John Baptist High School. He's the baseball coach. We're also going to be talking about Ripken Baseball with him, so that should be a good show. Mets fans, it is finally over. Let me repeat, it is finally over. Mathematically, they are kaput, done, complete, gone. So, Mets fans, don't sweat. Don't go out there and, you know, do something that you're going to be ashamed of. It is over. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And I know I laugh. I got the TV camera here. I got my producer. I got Rob Cole, the sports radio guru, running around. So we have an exciting show, but Mets fans, it is over. But regarding the Mets, interesting story I want to start in the New York Times the other day. Free tickets come when you catch the game. So you can get free tickets, but bad enough, you have to watch the game, which is a bad thing, I guess. I don't know. The Mets season was just what a kapunk. What a disaster for the New York Mets. So I don't know what to say about Mets fans, but they are done. They are kaput, and I'm happy about that. Yankee fans, on the other end, though. Yankees. I see Rob's clapping. Woo! Yeah. Derek Jeter. Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. But we have Derek Jeter broke Lou Gehrig's career hits record at 27-21. Was, of course, Lou Gehrig's record. Now, you know, 27-23. He was the all-time leader. Now he added this on, that on. But I have a little treat. CD that I like to play, Lou Gehrig track one, if we got that queued up there, and we're going to see what Lou Gehrig has to say about being a Yankee. Track one, here we go.
Although this is my 13th year with the New York Yankees, and not being a bit superstitious, I will give every effort to better my record of last year, and I sincerely hope we can win the pennant for the Yankees this year. I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. That I might have been given a bad grade but I've got an awful lot to live for. Thank you.
You know, when Derek Jeter stood up and congratulated the Yankees fans, he was saying to himself also, he's the luckiest man on the face of the earth. You just have to take that in stride, because Derek Jeter is the ultimate Yankee. Derek Jeter is the captain. Derek Jeter is the gentleman's gentleman, and there's no one better to happen to than Derek Jeter. So with that, I'm quite proud, pleased, happy that Derek Jeter did that. Talk about the Yankees. They are, of course, in first place. Boston trailing by 6 games. Then we got in the Central, we got Detroit. Minnesota, of course, that's the big story. They're breathing down Detroit's back. They're breathing for that wild card spot, and they're looking to get into the playoffs. Then you got the Angels, as always, they're the tough cookie. You got the Philadelphia Phillies, what else can you say? World Series champions from 2008. They're looking to make another comeback, which I'm sure they probably will be. You got St. Louis Cardinals, another tough team. Everybody thought this maybe was the Chicago Cubs years, but they're pretty much done. So that's that. Then you got the Dodgers, who are 5.5 up, and Colorado's breathing down the back to get the wild card, which may look good for them. So that's that on the standings. We have Jorge Posada, a little suspension there with Shelley Duncan. He went after Jesse Carlson. Then a little fisticuff bench clearing incident in the game on September 15th. So who knows with that. That's all done, over with, and boom. But we have a great show. We have John Haven coming about 9:15. We'll get him live on the line. We'll be speaking to him for a good part of the show. It should be good. John Haven is a good guy. He pitched for 11 years in the major leagues. Who else would, he's a Long Island bred and born, St. John the Baptist High School graduate. Played under Buddy Cole, who used to be former St. John the Baptist coach. So, that looks good. And Habian's a great guy. But before we even get started, there's another show down the road that I want to put together. Any baseball writers, up-and-coming baseball writers, up-and-coming sports writers out there, it's end of an era for, one of the best-known writers out there from the Cincinnati Reds organization. Well, from the Dayton Daily News, it's Hal McCoy. McCoy is being forced out because the Dayton Daily News says they cannot afford to pay their baseball writer to cover the Reds. So who knows? I mean, this is the end of a career, of a great Hall of Fame career, great Hall of Fame writer. However, with the newspapers, they're hurting. And I like to put together a show, hopefully, to talk about the careers in newspapers itself, the careers in media. I mean, is journalism dead? Is sports journalism, especially baseball writing, is it dead? I mean, interesting quote from McCoy himself. He says, "I do nothing but thank the paper for permitting me to cover the Reds for 37 years. I always told my wife that someday I would have to get a job, but I never did have to." 2002, McCoy was enshrined in the Writers' Wing in the National Baseball Hall of Fame, awarded to the J.T. Taylor Spink Award for meritorious contribution to baseball writing. He continued to cover the Reds in 2003, despite a stroke that legally left him blind. And the person that told him he can continue to do his job was Aaron Boone. And we know what Aaron Boone went through recently. He had open heart surgery, so that was kind of, a shaking hand, Aaron saying to Hal, "You could do it." Now, I'm sure Hal told Aaron at one point, you can do it, continue to do it. But that's going to be another show. I have a good guest lined up. It's John Hance from New York Institute of Technology. He teaches media, writing, and journalism. I like to have him come on, and I like to talk about this whole downfall newspapers, especially in relation to baseball and writing and all that. So that should be good. All right. What else we got here? I got my whole... This is my desk. At my house, my desk looks like this. I'm an all-time newspaper guy. As I say, I got Joe here, the other Joe, not Joe Bush, but our other Joe, our TV guy. I got my TV camera here. I'm a newspaper guy, and Joe, you can see, I cut newspaper articles out of stories and all. I do have an Apple at home, and I do have a Dell laptop, but I'm still an all-time guy, and this is what I do. I get my inspiration and my stories and my news from all my baseball articles, and it's something I will always do. I will always do as he's laughing. But that's a great Apple laptop, by the way, I must say. One interesting thing, Dwight Gooden signed on. As we all know, Dwight Gooden had some past issues. We won't get into that. But now, with his troubled past behind him, he's going to be building a baseball academy at Newark's Riverfront Stadium, and he's going to be like a special assistant to the Newark Bears. So that should be good for Dwight. You know, that should work out for him. We also have MSG Varsity starting up this week by Cablevision. Did you know about that, Joe? No. Yeah, MSG Varsity. Let's see how much baseball they're going to have into it, but it's going to be totally dedicated to high school sports on Long Island. So that should be good. That should be interesting. As I got my man, I'm waiting for John Habian to come live on the line. He's calling. Okay. So we got that. Then we got Delgado wants to return to the Mets, but that's not going to happen. We know that's down the tubes. But what else is new with that? But speaking with John Habian himself, we have okay. We're gonna bring on John Habian live on the line. Correct, John? How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Good. How's it going, man?
All right. Pretty good.
Long time no talk, huh?
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Well, before we even got started, I have back when I guess I was a young starting writer in college, yourself and Buddy Core gave me the opportunity actually to interview you. I guess, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, great, great, okay. And let me tell you something, that one story I did on you, The Natural of Hard Work, it's a big
right.
full... Let me tell you something, that story got a lot of momentum. It got a lot of work out of it. I still get calls today from editors to run that story. So if you Google your name, I'm sure my name will pop up and it's this story. So, but how you doing?
Hey, everything's going good. Just, yeah. Out here on Long Island.
Yeah. So let's start. We're going to start with St. John the Baptist High School. Tell me up to speed. I mean, I know you're a head baseball coach, so you've been there, what, about 12 years already? 10 years?
Yeah, I'm going on to my 12th year coaching high school baseball and actually teaching there now, too. I teach phys ed.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm going into my third year doing that. So, I got drafted out of high school when I retired, fired, whatever you want to call it. I went back to school, got my degree.
Yeah.
And, I'm doing both at the school.
Okay, so you've been teaching what, about 12 years there also, or?
But this is my third year teaching.
Yeah.
But I'm going into my 12th year coaching.
Oh, okay. Coaching now kids, I mean, I know way back when we had a conversation that your dad helped you become a pitcher, you know, by reading books and you built the mound in your backyard and all that.
Right.
Everything you learn to get to the major league level, do you, obviously, I'm sure that experience you take along to your high school students on the team?
Yeah, I mean, I try to do it. I just teach them all the preparation involved,
mm-hmm.
To whatever level, that you're destined for, whether it's professional, or, you know, most of the kids you deal with in high school are going to probably play Division III to Division II.
Yeah.
Once in a while, you get some Division I debt.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you try to prepare them accordingly. And, you know, between being a student athlete, you know, you got to do both. And, you know, the work involved.
Yeah. I actually pulled off, you wrote an article, I guess, for Ripken Baseball. I know you do work with them.
Right.
And you wrote about pitching, I guess, and you have, like, step one is, like, plan an effective practice.
Yeah.
Now, do you, like, these steps you put in, like, in this article, do you use that in your everyday practice yourself on the field with your students?
Yeah, all my practices are scripted. I mean, I pretty much, you know, after going into 12 years, I can, you know, I pretty much have a game plan.
Yeah.
Our season, well, we have a full season going now. But our year basically starts right after the holidays where we do our off-season training.
Yeah.
January and February. And then when March rolls around, then you get them 6 days a week. And then, you know, you kind of run it. I use a lot of my professional experience, you know, as far as, you know, the spring trainings I've been to.
Yeah.
And very, very structured. And they teach them the fundamentals. Individual fundamentals, just pick up ground balls and fly balls for the team. Fundamentals, cuts and relays, first and third, is from defense.
Okay.
And you kind of systematically go through the days, and you add a little bit at a time, and over the course of time, but you know, especially seeing the kids getting it.
Mm. In 2008, your team won the NSCHSAA championship against St. Dominic's.
Right.
Yeah. What type of experience was that? I mean, after, you know, 11 years in the major leagues, then you come and you're teaching and you're showing students, high school students, how to play ball. Then you win the... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, the best part of it is, you know, you just kind of... If you're happy for the kids because they work so hard.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, January, and they've been going at it for 5 months. And every once in a while, you don't win the championships every year, but when you do, it's nice to see be rewarded for their hard work. Because a lot of times, you know, you have it, put together good years, and they have good years, but sometimes the result doesn't end up in a championship. Mostly you're happy for the kids, and that was a nice year. It was a good group of kids, had some talented players, and they did some good things that year.
Yeah. Do you have any kids that are actually being looked at, or like up and coming that you say, wow, he has good
talent? You mean professionally?
Yeah, like kids in your high school program now that are like really like, wow, you know, I could see him, you know, actually possibly being drafted or, you know, or...
Not right now. I mean, it's most of the kids, like I told, most of the kids, I guess, are Division II type players,
mm-hmm.
Division III. You know, once in a while you get the Division I, Division II players. I probably have a couple Division I players on my team now.
Yeah.
I've had... couple of players play professionally over a 12-year period, but no one's got to the major league level.
Okay. What about so here we are, and going back now you're in high school, teaching high
right.
school, you're in, you know, teaching baseball, but now going back, rewinding your major league career. I mean, you were obviously, you know, you were drafted at a very young age. You did 11 years in the major leagues. Your best time in the major leagues and your worst time?
Definitely my time with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, probably one of my happiest memories is when I finally broke north with the team out of spring training.
Yeah.
For a lot of years with the Orioles. You know, I went to spring training. I got sent down to them because I never seemed to break north. And I think that first year I finally made the team out of spring training as a long shot. And, you know, my time there, just, you know, being able to play for the Yankees and growing up in Long Island
mm-hmm.
was special. the toughest times. I think, you know, the ups and downs, I think I went through with the Orioles.
Yeah.
You know, I you know, there were times during the course of 1 year, I think I was sent at, you know, three times in 1 year.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's up and down a lot. That was probably the most frustrating time of my career.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you have your normal ups and downs. But for the most part, you know, it was, most of the experiences were good.
Mm. Would you consider, everyone considers probably the 1991 season, you were probably named probably the best middle reliever in the major leagues. Do you, what do you consider about that?
I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
I don't think of myself that way. You don't think of yourself that way at the time.
Yeah.
You know, as I sit back now, I've been out of the game for 12 years. It's definitely something to be proud of.
Mm.
You know, it was a good run. It was a great year. You know, definitely never forget it. You know, all my friends remember it because, you know, like I said, you grew up here. I grew up here in New York, and
yeah.
You know, it was a good time.
That's good. Yeah, yeah. That was. I remember that when you news that ran a big story when you made the Yankees. It was like.
Mm-hmm.
I guess everybody was cheering, you know, John.
I definitely left a lot of tickets that year.
I was
busy. I remember I had a notebook right by my phone.
Oh, my.
That was just basically my daily ritual. It was just kind of go through the messages and just making sure I had my list right. Because you know, the worst experience is when you're supposed to leave someone on the pass list and you just forget.
Yeah.
And then they go to the booth and the tickets aren't there waiting for them.
Yeah.
I always tried to make sure I was organized because that happened a couple times.
Oh, my God. That's great.
No, but when you're leaving, you know, you're leaving 6, 7, 8, 10 tickets a night, you know, you're going to forget somebody once in a while.
definitely. That's funny. Let me ask you, Yankees now, are you involved in the Yankee organization at all? I mean, you know.
No, not at all. I just watch them on TV like everybody else.
Yeah. That Hall of Fame Museum, I hope your autographed baseball is in that Hall of Fame Museum that they have.
Yeah, a couple of my friends who have gone to the city, they actually set up next to Babe Ruth.
I said,
that's an easy way to find me then, if I ever make my way in there.
But it's good, I mean... I also see the Orioles on July 30th. You threw out the opening pitch against the Royals.
Yeah, they actually, the Orioles have some alumni week going, you know, every once in a while. So I was down there doing the Ripken camp. They have summer camps that they run throughout the summer. So I was down there with a few former Orioles, and we were working the Ripken camp, and then they asked me to come in and throw out the first pitch, and they had my daughter sang the national anthem, so it really turned out to be a nice day.
That's nice, yeah. Wow, that turned out to be good, huh? Wow.
Yeah, it was nice, and we watched the game. They really took care of us. They put us up in the sky. It was actually my daughter's first game, so first time she's been in the Major League ballpark.
Yeah, yeah.
She's 12 years old, and she got to sing the anthem. I threw out the first pitch, and they let us sit in the skybox.
Wow.
I told her, I said, "No, Holly, it only goes downhill from here." I said, "Not all the games are like this."
What is she like? Like, say your friends come over and like, "Oh, my dad used to be a pitcher." I mean, what is it to them like, you know, no big deal? Or is it like, "Oh, my dad used to..."
Yeah, I guess it's... Yeah, sometimes it is, you know. I mean, I think more with the boys.
Yeah.
You know, little baseball players. And especially now, again, at the age where they're, you know, she's a 7th grade now. And you know, you guys, I think, you know, some of her friends are making choices of whether they're going to go to high school like Coach at. So that'll be a unique experience, right?
Yeah. So you did from 85 to 88, you with Baltimore. 90
right.
to 93, you're with the Yankees.
Uh-huh.
Then 93, you were traded to the Royals.
Right.
And then from the Royals, you went to the Cardinals, 94, 95.
Uh-huh.
Then, like, 95, you went to California. Then you went to Colorado.
Right.
Now you ended, but you signed after that. You signed like with the Montreal, then like the Mets. But you
after when I got released out of Colorado, I signed with Montreal and I went up to Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in AAA, and I finished out the summer there. And then I actually went to spring training with the Mets.
Yeah.
In 97. And I got released out of spring training, and I guess I got to that point where I went 16 years and I never got released.
Wow.
And I got released twice within an 8-month period. So I was like, well, maybe it's time to shut it down.
And so, shutting it down, I mean, you know, you used to go into the ballpark every day, your training ritual and all that. Was it kind of hard saying, like, all right, this is the time to say goodbye? Or was it like, all right, this is the time to say goodbye, move on to my next chapter in life, what I have set up, you know, go back to Long Island,
It came at a time, too, where, you know, it was 97, my daughter was just born, so she was a newborn.
Yeah.
So it actually wasn't that tough a decision because, just being able to stay home with her.
Yeah.
Was helpful to my wife, and that definitely went into the decision.
Yeah.
And it was just a matter of, you know, you come to a point in your career, do I go to AAA and, you know, muddle through AAA for another 2 years trying to get another shot in the big leagues, and before you know, you're kind of wasting your time in the minors when you can get a move on your post baseball life.
Yeah. Let me ask you, how is Buddy Core?
Buddy's doing fine. We're still in touch. When spring rolls around, Buddy, he still comes out to the games, and he's still rolling along and still involved.
Good.
With baseball.
All right, John, we got to take like a 2-minute commercial break. You mind holding on, and we'll come back.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna take a 2-minute commercial break. It was a New York Baseball Live with Joe Bosch.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA, or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip change, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
Sports Radio New York, a network of New York sports talk shows heard on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Check out New York Hockey Talk with Rob Cole.
All-time hockey.
New York Baseball Digest with Mike Silva. Baseball Talk with Carl the Cabbie and Dugout Joe. Sports Talk Live with Frankie the Sports Guy. The Starting Nine with Steve Rogan, Paul Revelant, and Alex Goldfinger. The Dogtown with Moose and Doc. And Sports Talk 1240 with Anthony Donahue. Listen every Sunday night at 9 p.m. on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. And check out all past shows online at sportsradiony.com.
Welcome back, folks. I am Joe Bosch. You're listening to New York Baseball Live. We have John Habian on the line. John, you still here with us?
Yep, still here.
Okay, great. All right, so we're talking about, Buddy Core is doing great, and he's still coming back to the old stomping ground, huh?
Yeah, he's still, we named that field after him, so he's got to come back. he comes out to a lot of the big games, you know.
That's good, yeah. Yeah, Buddy was so receptive. I guess when I was starting out, I didn't consider myself a reporter. I consider myself more of a writer. And
right.
Then my career, I went to MLB.com and you know, do the radio show, and I have my own ML blog and all that. But, you know, he was
right.
So receptive when I sent him that letter just to interview you, and I always appreciated that. And when I do my blog now called Dugout Diary at MLB.com, they did a little ad, and they said, name one major league player, one turning point that helped you get where you are. And I have to say, well, John Habian and, you know, and Buddy Core and what, you know, what you guys done. Because when I was starting out, and, you know, it's just like, I guess, being a pitcher. You got to, you know, work at it,
yeah,
work
well,
at it, you know.
And Buddy's always been like that, you know. He just took me under his wing, you know, when I was a senior in high school, when he took over the program, and you know, and then I went on my way, and we always stayed close. But he's done that with dozens of players.
Yeah,
you know, like me, where he's gotten him into school and gone above and beyond.
Yeah,
what high school coaches do. I mean, you know, physically getting him in the car and driving him to schools or flying him to colleges and just doing anything he can.
Yeah.
But it's very genuine, and just looking, he's always looking to do what's right.
Yeah, no, he was always a good person. I know you had a really strict training regimen. I know we talked about it way back when. I'm just trying to remember. I know it was something about going to Jones Beach and running back and forth.
Yeah, that was part of the, you know, back in the early days. So we got that going in high school when I was a senior, and Buddy had the bright idea to say, hey, let's, you know, I don't know, Rocky just came out or something. Somebody was running on the beach in a movie. He's like, let's start running on the beach. Sounded like a good idea in the time until January rolled around.
Yeah.
We're running on Jones Beach in January and February.
Yeah.
But, you know, after that, it just kind of turned into like tradition. I just started doing it every year as part of my off-season training when I was still living on Long Island.
Yeah.
Buddy definitely invented that.
When you were looking, how many, like, I know we talked about, you had a couple Division I schools look at you, too, but you pretty much made the decision, like, you know, a scout told you that you were pretty, you know, pretty much you would get drafted, and that's when you put all your energy into trying to make it into professional baseball. Is that how
it was? It was probably one of the, you know, that was the toughest decision I had to make at that point in my life. You know, I was 18 years old, and whether to take a scholarship. You know, I think I had it down between TCU,
uh-huh.
Christian, and Oklahoma State. And, you know, either that or signing with the Orioles.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of beat myself up for a day or two, and then signed with the Orioles.
Yeah, no, obviously it was a good choice on your point.
It worked out good. You know, I probably didn't realize the risk I took at the time, because you know, you go to your first minor league spring training, and there's about, you know, 60 other right-handed pitchers.
Yeah.
In minor league camp. And you're like, wow. I mean, every one of them is the MVP of their team, and all league this, and all league that, and
yeah.
You kind of get a sense of, that was the first time I was like, wow, there's a lot of good baseball players out there.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a big shock for a lot of kids when they first get into Pro Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you like, now that you're out, do you get like a lot of like I know you do a lot of private pitching instruction, but like media requests, like do people still, you know, want to interview you, or it's just like, you know, nonchalant?
No, just you know, every once in a while, you know, a news day comes out and they gotta do the you know, predictions for the upcoming spring baseball, and you know, if we are lucky enough to win some playoff games and go to championship games. You know, that's about the extent of it nowadays. You know, all relating to high school.
Yeah.
You know, we do some stuff. Like I said, we do some stuff with Ripken Baseball. And, you know, it's nice doing the coaches' clinics with Cal and Billy.
Yeah.
We usually do two or three of those over the winter. You know, that's probably about the extent of it as far as the former professional life,
yeah.
Major league life.
Yeah.
So when I do my stuff with Ripken Baseball, everything else is pretty much amateur level, high school, and doing pitching lessons in the summer camps, you know, working with the kids.
Did any colleges ever, like, once you were done, like, consider, like, did you ever consider coaching in college, or you just pretty much knew you wanted to teach? And
yeah, it's You know, I've had some offers to coach.
Yeah.
Be a pitching coach at some of the universities on Long Island. But I think just right now at this place in my life is just, you know, working at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as far as schedule-wise with my daughter and, you know, kind of works better time frame wise. You know, maybe in the future, you know, I'm not ruling anything out. But as far as I am right now, this is I can't think of anything else I'd rather be doing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You also work with about 2 years ago I had Paul Gibson on. I used to have another radio show, Baseball Talk, and
right.
he was on, and you actually do instruction with Paul Gibson's academy out in Bellport, correct?
Yeah, we do pitching lessons out there, and actually, you know, talking back into professional baseball, Gibby, you know, Paul is back in, and he's scouting now for Seattle.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
So his kids have, you know, kind of like, you know, kind of at that stage in his life now where his kids are both out of the house in college. One finished college, and actually one is playing professional baseball for the Nationals.
Yeah.
But he's gotten back into pro ball, but we still hook up in the winter months, and we do our lessons out there,
mm.
along with Neil Heaton also.
Okay,
he's
yeah.
out there doing lessons.
Mm-hmm. And he, like, as you see now, like, the Long Island Ducks, they're probably a big, I guess they would probably play on what you would consider probably the AAA level, or maybe high double A.
Yeah, it's a high level. It's a higher level, I think, than people realize.
Yeah.
You know, they have major league players there, AAA, AA. But it's a high level. Yeah, I would say it's, you know, somewhere in between double and triple A.
Have the Ducks ever, like, reached out to you and said, hey, would you like to scout for us or do some consulting work, or they just...
I'm not sure what their structure is, if they even have a scouting team, but, I've never been approached by the Ducks.
Hmm.
You know, I think, you know, maybe to the possibility, you know, I'm kind of you know, happy with what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's shift. So now you also do the work with Ripken Baseball.
Right.
And how long have you been doing that now with Cal and Billy?
I've been working with Cal and Billy since, you know, we kind of all got out of the game around the same time. And, you know, they, you know, in the deficiency, you know, they basically were just putting together these traveling camps where we'd, you know, we'd go out to Kansas City, or we were going to Seattle, Florida, and myself, Cal, Duffy, and some other women major leaguers like Mark Parrish or Horace Alack, and we'd go into, you know, we'd go on the road and run these four-day camps, you know, and we did that for a few years, and I think the vision to build the complex in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
right around where they live in Aberdeen, Maryland, and I guess about 3 years ago, they built the Ripken facility, which is just a phenomenal facility. It rivals what they did in Cooperstown.
Wow!
They have all these miniature replica stadiums of Yankee, you know, Memorial, Fenway, and camp facility. Sonic gets out of there, and they run tournaments, and everything's just pretty much record-keeping baseball.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. And you've been doing that since you got pretty much out of the major leagues? Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing that. I've been doing it in the summer. And like I said, we do these coaches' clinics where we go around the country and basically fill up an auditorium and try to teach coaches how to coach and try to share as much knowledge as we can with them in a day. You know, we'll probably start around 9 o'clock in the morning. We usually finish around 3 o'clock, 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Cool.
And I do the pitching portion of it, and Cal and Billy combine and do the hitting and the fielding.
Okay. I don't know if you're. I know you played Major League Baseball, but I don't know if you're a Mets fan or a Yankees fan or you root for every team.
I watched, let's put it this way, I watched the Yankees more than I watched the Mets.
Okay.
Watched the Mets.
Here's my next question.
Especially this year.
Yeah, okay, here's my next question. If you were pitching coach or head coach, how would you fix the New York Mets? From a major league standpoint, you were Believe me, I never made a pass. I couldn't even be a water boy on my baseball team. So
not so much. I don't think there's anything a coach can fix. It's more what their medical staff can fix.
Yeah.
I don't think any coach or any manager likes to use injuries as excuses. But you gotta give them a break there. I mean, at one point in the season, they lost everybody.
Yeah.
Out of your lineup, you lose Reyes and Beltran and Delgado,
mm-hmm.
and then you lose Putz out of the bullpen, and then Ming goes down, and all these vital pieces of your team are not there. I mean, I don't think any team has that type of depth to overcome the injuries they had to overcome this year.
Yeah.
Now, whether the nucleus is there for next year or whether they're going to make changes, that remains to be seen. But I don't think it's anything where, okay, they were all healthy and, what went wrong. For me, that seems like the biggest problem right there.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Citi Field and just watching them, I was just like, I went to the game, it was like last month, and they scored like they were playing the Phillies. The Phillies scored like 6 runs in the first inning, and everybody I was with, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long game.
They've had some long games, and they definitely have showed they have some limitations in their fundamentals.
Yeah.
Irregardless of not even talking about winning, but you kind of hope that even replacements, when they come up to the big leagues, they know what base to throw to. They know how to run the base.
Yeah.
Things like that. They know how to execute a bunt defense. Kind of things that, maybe they're taking for granted that are being taught at the minor league level, that maybe not to the extent that they wish it was.
Mm. Moving over now, you watch the Yankees more. Do you think the Yankees have it this year? The right nucleus?
Absolutely. All the pieces are in place.
Yeah.
Their lineup, is, I think it's right where they want it right now. I think they're running on all cylinders. They're extremely difficult to pitch through and get through. I think, like always, it'll usually come down to pitching. And if, Sabathia, Bennett, and Pettit form a good, 1-2-3 punch in a short series, anything they can get out of a 4 guy, if it comes to that, that'd be Jabba. But I think the bullpen's rolling. Hughes has just been phenomenal.
Yeah.
In that role. So they're pretty solid, and I think definitely the piece was in place, and Girardi puts them in a position where they can have success. He's done a great job of keeping these guys fresh. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah. When you were playing with the Yankees, what was it, Stump Merrill was your manager?
I played for Bucky Dent, Stump Merrill, and Showalter.
Oh, okay. Everything you hear about Buck Showalter, is it true, like he's the drill sergeant type, or is it all just propaganda?
If I could think of one guy where I probably took most of what I do on a baseball field, probably most of it comes from Buck, as far as organizational skills and running practice and being prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I think Buck was as good a spring training as I've ever been to, and I've been to 6 of them. He was whether he's a control freak, I don't know if I would use that strong a language, but he was, he was prepared, he was organized, and he was thorough.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff doesn't freak me out too much.
Yeah.
And if anything, it kind of helped build a pretty good foundation for me to be a decent high school coach.
Yeah, definitely. I just seem like, when he was on ESPN, how he breaks down the game. He's an amazing individual, and I don't think people realize that. And I don't think
he is, and he knows how to put together an organization from the ground up. He knows how to put together a spring training, knows how to put together a minor league system. Yeah. Where the kind of stuff that maybe you've seen with the Mets this year, I don't necessarily think they would happen under somebody like Buck Showalter's watch.
Yeah. With the teams themselves, I mean, he could be a great manager again. I wish there's many teams that could use a good manager, and they should really take a look at him and bring him back on board. Any team, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You never know in this game.
Yeah.
You know, the guys that pop up at the weirdest times, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, you watch so many teams out there, and you're like, you know, what is going on? I mean, I'm like, especially relating to, like, the New York Mets, I'm just like, you're kidding me, right, you know? But then again, all the injuries and what they, you know, you can't fault really anybody because, you know.
Not in a year like this, I really can't.
Yeah.
I think Jerry Manuel's did about all you can do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what can you do?
I mean, yeah, I think it's a shame they have a beautiful stadium. I mean, and you would think, oh, you know, with the new Citi Field, maybe, you know, they'll win, it'd be great. But, you know, it put a damper. But then again, you know what, with Citi Field being there, it's kind of like a trade-off. All right, they weren't that good, but there's a great stadium. And everyone's still flocking to the Citi Field to see them.
New York, expectations are high,
yeah.
You know. And, you know, when you think you got a good ball club, they're going to be even higher.
Yeah.
You know, things just didn't go their way. And I think, like you said, mainly because of injuries.
Yeah. Do you get to many games, or are you pretty much at home watching it on TV?
I've been to one game this year. I went to a Met game. But I basically don't have the time, really, with my schedule and, you know, especially in the spring when I'm doing my coaching.
Yeah.
And then in the summertime, I'm doing camps in the morning from 9 to 3 in the afternoon. And then after that, I think the last thing I want to do is get in the car and deal with traffic and find parking for a major league game. Kind of like going down in my basement and turning on the TV and
just relaxing.
Watching it down there.
Yeah, exactly, relaxing. But, all right, we have about 1 minute. This is your time to give a plug. Your Ripken Baseball and your St. John, you got websites or whatever. Go ahead, John, give it out.
Yeah, no, we just, you know, I work, you know, All Pro Baseball Academy in Bellport.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I do my private pitching lessons. And coaching at St. John the Baptist High School, and I'm affiliated with Ripken Baseball. That's it.
Okay, great.
About it. You know?
John, it's been a long road. You're probably a little bit amazed when I sent you that email saying, who's this guy? But
definitely, there's a blast in the past.
Yeah, no, I always appreciate what you've, you know, sitting down with me, taking my crazy baseball questions. I always appreciated that. I always appreciated Buddy Kaur, you know, also. And I thank you. You're such a gentleman, as is Buddy Kaur. If you see Buddy Kaur, tell him I say hello, and I appreciate you coming on the show, John.
I will do, Joe.
Okay.
That's a lot.
All right. All the best with you and St. John the Baptist also, okay?
All right. So long.
Take care. Bye-bye. That was John Habey on New York Baseball Live, former major league pitcher. 11 years in the major leagues. That's quite a feat. 1991, he was considered probably one of the best middle relievers to pitch in a game, and we're proud to have him on. It was a long road. I know John back from the early 90s when I was breaking into sports writing. So as he said, he opened a few doors for me, and I hope I opened a few doors for him. Great individual. I think we have a guest on the line here. Is that correct?
That is, Joe.
Wait a second. Who is this?
Usually I am behind the glass.
Okay.
But tonight I am not behind the glass. I'm in front of the tube.
You're in Boston.
No, I mean, I'm not in Boston. Hi, Joe. This is Adam.
Adam. I thought you were going to be in Boston, you told me.
No. My brother came down from Boston.
Oh, okay. Hey, creeping senility at a young age. What can I say?
hey, what can I say?
All right, Adam, what's going on, man?
Well, I just want to... Can I expound upon the Jets for maybe a minute?
This isn't now New York Football Live? Is there New York Baseball Live?
I know.
Go ahead. Expand
well,
on
you
your
know what?
Jets.
I actually have baseball talk because I went to the Mets game on Friday.
You finally went to Citi Field.
Finally went to Citi Field. I like it. It's very nice.
I just had John Heyman. He used to pitch for the Yankees on. I don't know if you remember him.
No.
Back in the early 90s. Good guy. You should have listened to the show, but obviously, you know, I know you're busy.
The latter end of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, go ahead. How was Citi Field to you?
I really enjoyed it a lot. I mean, the fact that you can see the game from pretty much anywhere inside makes it a highly enjoyable experience. So, but, I mean, the one little problem I had with Citi Field was the people in white uniforms that they marched out there. That played on the dirt and the infield and then the outfield. That was a disaster. That was a disaster. I mean, what was that?
I
didn't even know some of these people. Who's Toby? Who's this guy? They have a catcher named Toby? Where did these people come from?
Wait, you sure you went to Citi?
They were playing the Nationals.
You sure you went to Citi Field?
And losing. Awful. Awful, Joe. Oh, my God.
You sure you went to Citi Field?
Yeah.
You're positive.
It feels like a bad dream, but I definitely went there.
Okay.
Oh, beautiful. I really enjoyed it.
I told you.
You're right.
You know?
You're right. I will admit that I was wrong and you were right. On air.
Please, no more questions either, right? You don't have any stumping questions like the last show?
Okay. In 1974.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
I got nothing.
What, you want to talk a little Jets? That's not my beat, but go ahead.
Quick pop. I know, it's baseball.
Go ahead.
Fucking baseball. But, and the Yankees, you know, there's unbelievably, with two losses in a row with game-ending walk-off homers, it's kind of unbelievable, but I still think that they're the team to beat in the postseason. The Jets, I mean, they just got it done today, and I think they have one of the best defenses in the NFL, and that makes me happy. I've never seen the Jets with a good defense.
What do you think of Sanchez?
Sanchez is the real deal, also.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. He composes one of the best plays of the game was towards the end where he was in a third and long situation, and he was getting rushed, and he got free for a little second, and he could have made a stupid rookie mistake by throwing it down the field while being rushed. Instead, he took the sack.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was one of the most underrated but biggest plays of the game. That was using his head.
Mm.
And because the defense was winning the game for them the whole time, that's showing faith in the defense. And what they do, the defense held them off in the end. And Jets marched on.
Wonderful
victory.
So what are you thinking of the Jets this season?
I think they have as good a chance as anybody.
Mm.
I really do. I'm not being a homer. I mean, their defense is sensational.
Mm.
Their secondary is to be reckoned with. Randy Moss could not breathe.
Couldn't breathe
today.
So
it was really, like I said, I don't remember any Jets defense even resembling the group that they have.
So
Bart Scott is rushing all the time. It's great.
So as Ray Lewis said, Mark Sanchez now is not a deer in headlights, right?
No.
Remember that when Ray was like, oh, he's a deer in headlights. We took him down, you know? Remember that in the preseason game?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what he is? He's a deer in the forest.
Oh, I'm telling you.
What's going on?
A lot of expectation. And he looked good. I mean, I'm not going to. I do watch football, so.
Okay.
I know there's a baseball show, but Jets are my team. I'm going on record right now. The Jets are my team.
Okay, yeah.
I used to tailgate at the Jets games. I was at Giant Stadium waiting, you know, tailgating with my cousin Greg, and we went. But the Jets are the team.
Yeah. And they're just legitimate. They are.
So.
As the Giants just go.
So let me ask you, when are you coming back?
I will be back next week, September the 27th. It's my birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you, Joe.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Adam. Happy birthday to you.
The whole song.
Live.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Nobody sang the song to me today.
Well, I did. I just did on live on radio.
You made my day.
I hope I did.
That's awesome.
I'm glad I made your day.
All right. Yeah, I missed you this week, and I know you got a great engineer right now. He's the man behind the glass, so I'm sure it was a lovely show. I will listen to the rest of it online at sportsradiony.com.
Yes, you will, because we have about 1 minute left, I think.
We do.
All right.
Well, it's wonderful. Do you have any World Series winners predictions, Joe, before I leave?
Okay. I went on a little tangent back in March about this one team.
Okay.
But I think they're the real deal. And John Havien just said it too. The New York Yankees are the real deal.
I throw my sentiment right into the ring with you. They are
the real deal, and I think they could do it. I really have that power now in me not to say Joe Girardi is a fool.
No, he looked like it in the first year at certain times.
Yeah, well,
even at the beginning of this year.
Yes,
but
he did. Yes.
The team is scrappy and has galvanized and is fun to watch.
Isn't it weird how the Mets were like the best team and the Yankees were stinking it up in April?
It seems like almost a decade ago.
It does. It seems like it was 10 years ago.
Weird. That's baseball. You got to love it. Oh, okay. What a strange marathon it is.
I know.
All right. Well, Joe, Adam, I really appreciate you having me on.
It's great for you to have come on. You know, keep pitching. I enjoy watching you with the Boston Red Sox. You're doing a great job in the bullpen, all right, buddy?
I will keep it up. I will keep up the good fight.
All right, Adam. I'll see you next when I'm back on, all right?
Absolutely.
Take care, buddy.
Take care, Joe.
And I was Adam Curran, actually my producer for New York Baseball Live on WGBB. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. We have next show. Like I said, I want to get into the whole aspect of hopefully baseball writing. It's a dwindling industry, and just talk about Hal McCoy, many others. Harvey Arrington now is no longer a sports columnist at the New York Times. He covered baseball. It was done. So we're going to wrap it up for this show. We had a great show. I thank John Hamey for coming on. I thank the great TV crew that was in here filming me. And that's it. Until next time, you listen to New York Baseball Live with Joe Bosch. Take care, everybody. Have a good night.
Just one good stride into the outfield grass at first. 2-1 pitch. Fly ball. Deep left field. Jones is back to the fence. Jones is on the warning track. The World Series is over. Jones makes the catch.
There's a drive to right field. It's deep. Chris going back. Away back. It's gone.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.